is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Pulling out the coupe at the lot, told him 12 SWAT, buzzing all the bells out the box. I just hit a link with the box, had to put the stick in the box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You want to get in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776.
I'm working on getting Coach Saban on a mobile, by the way, for us. I don't know if you saw his PSA.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I had heard.
I haven't seen. I just saw him with the Alabama mask on. Something did occur to me that there will be people in the state of Alabama who probably are not going to be very happy about masks, wearing masks out in public in general, right? Like, you know, it's taking away their freedoms. But if Nick Saban says, all right, we need you to wear masks because we're trying to get Alabama football back. Masked, everyone's got a mask on. If Nick Saban tells that state something, Alabama needs its own president. Not a governor, just a president. President Saban. And if President Saban tells Alabama something, they do it. And there's really not a lot of discussion there. You're not allowed to discuss it. If he says, you're going to wear a mask because we're trying to get college football back, then everyone will wear six masks if they need to. Like, I'm the most Alabama. I got 10 masks all over my face. That's how I think it would go down.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, so the first president of Alabama was Bear?
Yeah.
The Bear was the first.
Well, and like
Nick's the second president.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, wasn't Mac Brown was president of Austin for a while?
Dennis Francione was never the president.
No, he was never.
Gene Stallings had a. He didn't get reelected, yeah. But Gene Stallings was president.
He's a one termer.
I can see Gene Stallings being more vice president.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Only in SEC country does this whole scenario make sense.
Are we sure he has the same type of pull? He did lose like a couple games last year, so. After they lost to Auburn, there was talk like
you think Nick, he's going to get primaried? Is he going to get primaried?
Well, people are like Nick has to go. We lost to Auburn.
Yeah. Let me tell you, you can try to primary him if you want. Nick will crush anyone who runs up against
what
him.
What if Dabo wants to run for the primary?
I think it's close, but I think Nick still wins 53% of the popular
vote. I don't know
about that. Their own guy, the guy who played there as a walk-on?
Nick has won them titles.
Well, Dabo was on the team that won a title under Stallings, I think.
He lost to Auburn last year, Lance.
He did.
Probably out.
They were like, Nick's got to go. So. They had to play Michigan in a PU bowl, in Orlando bowl
game.
Here's
the dangers. If you come out and openly politic against Nick Saban being reelected president of Alabama, the entire state, then you risk being crushed if he is elected. That's the fear, is that, like, I can't publicly come out against Nick. This is like a House of Cards where episode where you're, like, privately trying to fund Dabo Swinney's campaign, but you don't want Nick to find out. Because you know if Nick wins, then he is going to make sure that you are punished. That's enough for me to stay out of it if I'm going up against President Saban.
If you back Dabo and then Dabo wins, well, you're in. You are in.
Yeah. Listen, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous scenario to go up against President Saban. President Ogeron is probably spending federal funds just haphazardly, is my guess. I don't feel like his plan is great.
I think his plan is red beans and rice for everybody, and crawfish season lasts all year. That's it.
Yeah.
That's his, right.
You know how many people Nick would use carbon monoxide poisoning to kill? What did he do to that? Who did the? Didn't Francis have his guy, his fixer, kill that that AA? He was an alcoholic, but he was trying to get over it. And
early on in the episode, what did they do to Peter
him?
Or whatever?
What did they do to him? Again?
Didn't he take pills or something? How did he die?
I think
it in his car?
It was asphyxiated.
Yeah, but they were like, well, he got drunk. Well, they filled a system with like. They had like beer. They had like alcohol bottles around the car. Like he was getting over being an alcoholic and stuff. And I think Nick would do that to you. He would make it look like a suicide or neglect, and that's how you died. But really, Nick made a power move to get rid of you.
I had his fixer on the podcast. It's going to drop on Tuesday. But Michael Kelly, I think, is who did that. I got to go back. That's season one or
Doug
two.
Doug Stamper did that.
Yeah, Doug Stamper did it, didn't he?
Well, yeah. How have the Clintons done it for years, allegedly?
Well, they're no one's been charged with a crime, John.
Just asking.
Well, Kevin Spacey wasn't either. What was his name? Frank Underwood.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Spacey got charged with other things in real life.
Yeah. He could dodge all those murders. He couldn't dodge the other stuff.
Or you just do like he did and get on the subway and push whoever is right into the subway car.
Well, yeah. He did that to Zoe. No, I don't know if her name. Yeah, name
yeah
Zoe.
Zoe. Yeah.
And actually, Frank did this one himself. I'm looking at it on YouTube right now. He did this one himself. He didn't have his boy do it.
It wasn't Stamper?
No, he did it himself. I'm watching him wipe his fingerprints off the car door right now.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Nice job, Frank.
Yeah.
Frank, you know, it was a little unrealistic how many people, you know, the president of the United States was killing.
To be fair, he wasn't the president at the time. He killed Peter.
No, but he became president.
Yes.
Honestly, what do we have, 45? 46 presidents now?
45.
How many of them killed people before they got
personally
office?
Or had their people do
personally.
It?
Personally.
I'm sure.
Because Frank already had a couple at least on his resume.
He had Peter Russo. He had his young chippy reporter that he was with until she got a little lippy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's at least two personally. Who knows what he did back when he was back in South Carolina, rising up the ranks.
So do you think Van Buren or
probably
they killed people before they got in office?
Well, George Washington was a soldier, so he wasn't assassinating people, but he killed people before he got in office.
Oh, yeah, he killed people. Yeah. No, I mean, just out of, you know, just wanting to do it.
Pure spite.
Yeah, just for fun.
For fun. Frank didn't do it out of fun. He did it out of personal gain.
That was always personal gain.
Yeah, but I think Frank enjoyed it a little bit. It just seemed like. He liked it too.
Okay,
much.
Let me circle back then. Now I'll let you answer again. Now that you've had that little discussion, I'll circle back. You want to be the one back in Dabo against President Saban?
Dabo's got to win because he doesn't win.
Publicly.
I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
You want to try to do it from the shadows?
Yeah, I want to be.
You never want it to be
direct.
Known.
Yeah, I want to be that Gerald McCraney who was like playing a pseudo Koch brother in the show. I want to be that guy. I don't want to be.
Oh, I forgot about him.
I don't want to be so out. But Frank even got him in the end. But I don't want to be known if I'm going to go against Nick.
No, if you're going against Nick Saban, you could probably go. And I'm thinking that Kirby Smart is also a guy who. You got Kirby Smart could have a long run too as a potential. He's president of Georgia right now, obviously.
Certainly,
but I feel like is it Muschamp that's at South Carolina now still?
I think so. Yeah.
Or do they replace him? I feel like his seat as president of South Carolina is tenuous at best.
Definitely. Go get your ass. Go get beat by Clemson again by 3 touchdowns or 4 touchdowns.
Speaking
at this
of
point.
That, did you guys see Clemson Alabama was on yesterday? They showed that on TV.
Yes. I knew it was on.
You knew it was on. John didn't know it.
What? Clemson, Alabama?
Your quarterback, Deshaun Watson, got down 14-0 against Alabama and ended up making a run.
Ended up beating
Alabama.
Okay, but while you're doing that, I'm watching Bill O'Brien scream at Tom Brady on the sidelines.
Oh, is that video? Why is that video out there?
I don't know why they're playing that.
Where are they
know.
Playing it from? Where are you seeing this?
Well, they're talking about Tom Brady going. Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers for whatever reason.
You're kidding? ESPN has a chance to do a Tom Brady and a Bill O'Brien.
Yeah,
this is a gold mine.
They combined the two. Bill O'Brien going nuts on Tom Brady.
Yeah, who knew? Who knew Bill O'Brien could get a little
who
heated?
Knew Bill O'Brien would lose his temper?
I certainly didn't. Sign
wow.
You suck too. Hashtag you suck too.
You suck too.
Just never thought that would be a thing where Bill O'Brien and Tom Brady, two guys who get a little hot-headed, would go at it. That's shocking.
And speaking of Tom Brady, get out of my face, ESPN. You know that Tom Brady doc's going to be the most boring thing.
You think it is?
Yes. Tom Brady's not going to give you anything. He controls everything, just like Jordan did. He's not going to give you anything.
But see, Jordan, yeah, I don't think this idea that everybody, I saw something where other docs that need to be made by ESPN. The Tiger doc would be very interesting to me. Because Tiger's had some stuff in his background and greatness.
As long as Tiger doesn't have editorial on it.
Well, Michael had some.
Well, I know, but Tiger can't because there's so much of the scandal that has to come out. The Tiger would never let all that.
No, but if in a perfect world, a Tiger Woods documentary would be fantastic. And I don't know if it could go 10 years. Like, because Jordan had a baseball. So nobody's documentary could go 10 segments, only Jordan's, because there was one dynasty run, another dynasty run. He had players who were teammates who there was a huge focal point on teammates of his.
Well, like, and plus he became an icon.
You could do a 4-hour documentary on, you know, 4 episodes on Tiger Woods and be really, really good, I think. I don't think LeBron, you could probably do 6. 6 episodes on LeBron, my guess, the high school years, and you could do the first run, and you can do his issues with the Heat, pro and con, and then he takes the next step forward, and then his return to Believe Land, and then the Lakers. So, boom, I've got 6 episodes right there. I don't think that's that hard. Mike Tyson could have a really good 6-episode documentary. Really good. And think about this, Mike Tyson. Well, you know how long Mike Tyson's run was from 86 to 2001, basically. It was like a 5-year run, and that was it.
86.
I'm sorry. 86 to 91. It was like a 5-year run, and actually, he had already lost the title by 91. But he was still in the news, and he had the rape allegation charge. He was convicted, all that stuff. So Mike Tyson really only had now. This is the difference, though. He wasn't as good after prison. Frankly, he wasn't as good after Cusdamato died. Mike Tyson's prime lasted about 3 years. Robin, he was responsible for his own downfall. But also Robin Givens probably wasn't great for him. Don King definitely wasn't great for him. But Mike Tyson's documentary could keep going because you've got the Evander Holyfield stuff. You've got his issue, you know, his trials and tribulations. Like a Mike Tyson documentary could span a lot of different topics. And in his big return, which, do you remember what his big return was, Dell? When did Mike Tyson come back into public consciousness?
Hangover?
Yep, Hangover.
You know what? If you're Mike Tyson, I would say, hey, let's not make a doc about me because I don't need you guys relitigating, you know, the whole rape stuff, the my issues with women. And that has been Mike Tyson makes appearances on late night shows. Oh, Mike Tyson's here. You know this dude went to jail for awful crime, right?
But it's not
remember
ever
that morning show he was. Remember that morning show he was doing, and he wanted to beat the snot out of the guy that brought up the rape.
Yeah, yep.
And he if you haven't seen that, you got to Google that.
Mike, it makes
and
me nervous.
Mike is dropping F-bombs on him.
It makes me too nervous.
It is way too nerve wracking. 8:16 ESPN 97.5. You know what else is? It's not having the car you want, Lance.
Craig DeSerf can make sure that you get the car you want, not the car that the dealership wants to give you. Now, listen, every dealership around the country right now are seeing their inventory drop because the manufacturing has stopped. However, they still have pickup trucks that are fantastic. They still have SUVs like the Suburban or the Yukon that are waiting for you out in Angleton. If you are looking for crossover vehicles, now is a great time. I love driving the Chevy Traverse. Love it. My wife made the switch over to the Traverse, and she absolutely loves it as well. They've got 0% financing for up to 84 months if that is something that you're interested in. And what that does is lower the payments. You, of course, don't have to take advantage of that program. They have deferred payments for 120 days. That may be something that you do want to take advantage of. It's for well-qualified buyers, and that could mean you. All you have to do is go to LanceZCars.com to get started. Find something you really love and then start the process right there on the chat function. You can start to negotiate for your brand new car. They will even deliver it right to your doorstep. It's that simple. Straight from Angleton. They've been doing that even before a pandemic. Their customer service is amazing. And Craig DeSerf and Rick Drenner, the two ad honchos over there, just care more. And it's one of the reasons that I've spoken for those guys for so long is because they have great vehicles at great prices and they're great people. Right there in Angleton, and yet it can be delivered right to your doorstep. LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here, I just kind of feel that I'll like we would. Oh, by the way, yeah, Andrew Jackson is a good one. Andrew Jackson killed people before he got into the president, became president.
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people. There's no question about that. you weren't here yesterday. We talked about Daryl Morey, talking about Chris Paul and the injury, and we kind of agreed with Daryl Morey that if Chris Paul doesn't hurt his hamstring, the Rockets win that series, two home games. 3-2 lead, and Chris Paul out. He changed, 0-for-27, changed. Everything changes. Everything changes if Chris Paul is in there, running the show as opposed to just keep on jacking up threes and keep on missing at an unbelievable pace.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they go up 3-2, game five at home. And they go to Golden State, actually get out to a good start and blow that. And then, as you mentioned, 0-for-27 in a game where I think they might have had a double-digit lead as well. I just think at some point, I don't know how the question was posed, so maybe you're forced to answer it. But at some point, you're like, first of all, he's not on the team anymore. That was multiple years ago. And, all right, it's over. I know. We all know. You had a real shot to win the title. But what about now?
I get it, but it asked and answered. Yeah, if it's asked and answered,
that's fine.
Then, yeah.
But as far as let's talk about what could have been, I mean, you want to go down as one of those teams that I guess you're going to be considered one of the best teams to never win. I guess is that what you're looking for? Because along I think it was on Cowherd or something. It was also they also talked about how, hey, we're just a Warriors away from winning a title. We just happen to have the best team and maybe one of the best teams in history in our way. And that's true. But at some point, maybe we stop talking about the Warriors and what could have been. And because it's not like your career is over as a general manager. And the Warriors aren't a thing anymore. At least, well, they might be next year, but they aren't right now.
Well, can you see a Splash Brothers documentary?
Definitely.
And the Rockets will be a big part of it.
Yeah. They won't get left out of that one like they got left out of The Last Dance.
No, actually, the Rockets will be a focal point.
What's the problem with them being tougher? Left? But who cares at the Rockets? This wasn't a doc about the Rockets.
That's what I think, but people were upset.
I don't understand that. As somebody who loves that Rockets team and gets angered by the stupid asterisk talk, which is ridiculous, and acknowledges that Jordan was there and got eliminated by the Orlando Magic the same year the Rockets won. But you know what? That documentary was about the Jordan Bulls. Once the Bulls are eliminated from contention, why should the doc continue to go and then the Knicks took on the Rockets? And what does this have to do with the Bulls? It wouldn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense to me. I was hoping to see something Rockets related, but wasn't expecting to see it because they didn't play the Bulls. It had nothing to do with Bulls. This wasn't Clutch City or Double Clutch, the documentary that's on, you can still find on a VHS tape somewhere. It was a documentary about Jordan. Jordan wasn't there in one of the years. Certainly if the Bulls had continued on and played the Rockets, I'm guessing there would have been Rocket stuff in there. But John, did you find that unusual? There wasn't mentions of the Rockets during championship years? I mean, unless no. Somebody in the interview said, it would have been really tough to beat the Rockets. Unless there was that, I don't know how the Rockets would have made it in.
Well, Michael had final say. Why would he mention another champion?
Case closed.
What purpose would that serve? To say someone else was good at basketball?
Yeah, no. You, as soon as the Bulls were eliminated against Orlando Magic, there was no more talk about the Magic. Like, all right, beat it.
Yeah. No. He didn't. But from a, until he had to crush Horace Grant again. That's the only way.
Jordan right now, with Scottie getting lippy and Horace, Jordan right Ooh. Now starting to craft a new documentary coming out called Bitch Made Tricks, the Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen story. Like, and Jordan's going to sit there like, well, you know, I always thought they were really good teammates. Like, Mike, are you executive producer on this? Because I feel like this is you, they remade your list, and so now you got to do another doc to blast Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen.
Man, it's funny how everybody's on Mike's list.
Everybody. Mike is the...
I mean, if you say, you know, I saw Mike sneeze once and he didn't cover his mouth, Mike's like, oh, you're done.
I mean,
you're
Mike
done.
Was pissed about things that didn't happen.
I'm
he was pissed
murder
about
you.
George Carl walking past him, not acknowledging him or whatever. Like, that's yeah. it. Everybody. There was nobody who didn't. To-go servers got on Mike's list. Valet drivers who didn't open the door for him got on his list. Like, it just didn't take much.
I was listening to a theory that Mike's, you know, his vindictiveness cost him in that flu game or pizza game. We've talked about this before, but what, and this was on, I think, the Bill Simmons podcast, one of his friends were on it, and he said, what if Mike poisoned himself? Because remember, we hear about him spitting on that pizza to keep the other guys from eating any because, you know, they ditched him and went to go eat.
Wait. What?
You didn't hear that?
No.
Mike spit.
That wasn't on the doc, was it?
No, it came out later. Mike spit on the pizza to keep them from eating it because they had ditched him and went to go get eaten. That's why
Mike
he was hungry.
Mike spit on a pizza? Let's stop right there. That shows you how vindictive he is.
That's what I'm saying. So
that's
what
a
if
little
his,
brother
what
move.
What if his vindictiveness hurt him because he's a cigar smoker? And what if all that cigar gunk that he spit on the from the saliva and he spit on the pizza, he ate, then he goes and eats it, although he's already got that in his mouth. Anyway, he eats the pizza, and that's what poisoned him.
Well,
that's a
that his own
vindictiveness cost him.
Yeah, right. So I heard a story. There was a picnic every year, and they would get a giant bucket of beer, and everybody just dipped their cups in it instead of a keg or what. I don't know why they did this, but one of the uncles, he would hock a loogie in it. And then just push it aside and dip his beer in, and he got the whole thing to himself. I mean, I think it's a boss move.
Do you really? That's how you view that?
Yeah. I think that, you know what? Guess who owns this? Me now. That's right.
It's an aggressive move. I'm not saying that. I don't know that I'd call it boss. I don't think that's the move for it. It's called a-hole.
Well, but you who owns it? Me? Guess what? I'm the boss.
Can I ask you a question? What if somebody spit into your Coors Light?
Well, then they, you know what? I'd open another Coors Light. See, that's the difference. If somebody spits in my Coors Light, that's yours. Now I'll go get my own. Don't even come at me with, I want to touch your beer. I know. No. I don't know. If somebody wants to try something, don't double dip. No double dipping. You can do it on the other, you can dip the other end in. We did that. We had some drinks and some appetizers, and you dip the other end in. I'm fine with that. That's fine. But don't dip the end in that you just ate from. No. That now your mouth germs are all over. No, we're not doing that.
Hmm.
But see, that's why it's a boss move, because now you own it. You own that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of with Mike on this one. You hock a loogie on a pizza, it's yours. Nobody else gets any. And, oh, by the way, you want to go and eat without me? That's what you get. That's what you
or
get.
Or maybe, you know, Mike, you were really busy and you couldn't make it, so we were hungry. So it's just when we went
don't
to go
be
eat.
Hungry until I'm hungry. That's the kind of
or
boss
maybe
Mike
maybe you
was.
Were on the golf course and we didn't want to golf and you wouldn't get off it, so we went to go eat.
Well, then, you know what? Take up golfing and get better at it.
Everything's an excuse for Michael.
Yeah.
You would be an enabler. We figured this out about John. John would be the ultimate enabler to a star player.
Yeah. Oh, Mike, man. You know, John would be right there with a curly mullet, a curly black mullet, standing right next to John Wozniacki and Clifford Lett, not Clifford Lett, whatever Clifford, the other security Clifford guard Ray. Who they talked about. No, the other one who passed away.
Oh, Gus.
Gus Lett, yeah. There's like, hey, what's Granato doing there?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that why you got kicked out of Chicago? Did something happen between you and John Wozniacki?
Or the Mike.
Blonde hair mullet or Mike?
Maybe Mike.
Did you make a list? Never mind. I figured it out. You made Michael's list.
I might have made Michael's list. I don't know. But if I ever said anything bad about him, I never said anything bad about Mike.
Can we just think of which entourages John would best fit in? Like a star. Now, obviously, we know golf, but we don't care about that as much as he does. Like, could he fit into, like, I feel like if he was around when Pastorini was around, he'd fit into Pastorini's entourage.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a lot
of fun. Dan Marino entourage?
Keep him away from Dan. I don't want him near Dan Marino.
That's all I'm saying. Well, he would have been perfect. He would have been the Italian thing.
I don't think Dan was playing like Pastorini was playing at the time now.
What do you mean playing? You mean on the field or off
playing.
The field?
Dan Pastorini was going hard.
I think you would have been good with Jim McMahon's posse,
an
enabler for him.
Oh, yes.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. That would have been fun.
Yeah, that you would have been a Jim McMahon enabler. I think John would – well, you know, speaking of enabler, this really isn't a great transition. When we come back, thoughts and prayers, rest in peace. Our good friend Jose Lima passed away 10 years ago yesterday.
Whoa.
Yep. 10 years ago yesterday.
10 years ago yesterday?
And Pedro Morrow, I think his last name is, for The Athletic, wrote a fantastic article. He reached out to me. Allison Footer had him reach out to me about some Lima stories. And so my name was in that article. But he captured Lima's essence. He just did a fantastic job. And Lima, 10 years ago yesterday, I believe it was, I think they released the article, and it coincided with a 10-year anniversary of Lima passing away. What I didn't know after speaking with Pedro is how beloved he is in L.A. with Dodgers fans. I mean, Dodgers fans love him as much as Astros fans. I did not know that.
Well, you know who everybody loves? John Clay Wolf. And he's with us right now on ESPN 97.5. What up, John Clay Wolf? You finally woke up in the morning.
I did.
We've been calling you all week. You're in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, we're selling cars in Manheim, Pennsylvania this morning. We've got 170 up there. So we're on the radio in D.C.
Where do you do the show from, though?
In Philly, those Yankee bastards.
You're going up there to Philly with them Yankee bastards, and you're going to do the show
Yankee
up there?
Yankee bastards. So, I know what. I've learned some Yankee bastard terms that I did not know in the past. Do you know what a piker is?
I never heard of a piker.
I hadn't either. It's a guy like you, Greta, that makes very small bets.
That was in.
I wish I was a piker.
Yeah, that was.
I wish I was a piker.
The poker movie, John.
It was in what?
That was in Rounders. I think the term piker was in Rounders. I believe.
Oh really? I didn't remember that.
Well, that's what they were explaining. They're like, you're new up here, and they don't know who you are, and they think you're some piker schmuck. And I'm like, what's a piker? And they explained it to me.
So you learn a new word. Good for you,
John.
You
learn something new every day. And if you'd like
you.
To sell your car to someone that's not a piker schmuck,
no.
givemethevin.com, because we make very large bets, and we are really buying aggressively right now, making our competition, unfortunately, kind of look like bitches, because we are on top of the market. We stopped early, and we started back early, and they just haven't ramped back up as fast as we had. So we're the higher money for sure. We always try to be, but right now we really are.
How difficult is it for you now with the prices going down? Now they're heading back up a little bit now, but you know, doing it over the phone when somebody calls into your show and being able to give a price right there.
Yeah, those are always fun. Those people are, you know, what a stroke is, a stroke artist. A lot of those people that call into the show are stroke artists. I've learned over the years. The real guy is the one that goes to the website, has a couple of pictures. And he's serious. The show people,
they just want to hear.
I think they just want to argue,
or hear themselves on the radio.
Yeah,
one of the two. Yeah,
just like you.
Yeah, just like me. That's what I want.
Just like me. Just like
John Clay Wolf.
Good morning.
Tomorrow morning at 9 right here after the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5. Go to GimmeTheVin.com. You want to sell him your car. The car market is coming back. All you got to do is go to GimmeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf will hear you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 8:35. You can listen to the podcast. Dell gets them up hour after hour right here. Where do you find podcasts, Dell?
You can go to podcastarena.com and find the Bench with John and Lance show page. They'll all be there for you.
Aren't they on our website, too?
Yeah, you can go to ESPN975 and find them. In ESPN975.com and find them. Also, if you have the app or you're listening to the show live, there's a side section where you can go straight to the podcast through the app as well.
People like the podcast right up right away.
Yeah, I get a text every time I'm not actually working. I'm not a text, a tweet
about
it.
Where's the podcast?
Hey, I really would like the podcast up because it keeps me from going to 610 and 790 because of crap. It's like, once again, man, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm not here. Sorry, I can't help you there. That's all. But yeah, yeah. Hour one, if you missed it, is up right now. Although we ask you to stay and listen to what's going on right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is kind of true. Dustin at Sources says, the last dance was not about Jordan. It was about the Bulls through Jordan's eyes and perspective. And, yeah. But did you see Karl Malone? Karl Malone said, I didn't play Michael Jordan. I played the Bulls. Okay? And that's why I don't want to be any part. This was a Michael Jordan thing. I played the Chicago Bulls.
That's true. That's true. And I also think it's funny that John Stockton came out and said, I wasn't afraid of the Bulls. How can you play basketball if you're afraid of a team? How can you be? That's like the very best players, the very best fighters, the very best whatever. They're not afraid of their opponents. They may respect them, and they may have a healthy respect based on their ability, especially in the, you know, in the octagon or in boxing or whatever. But it doesn't mean you're afraid of them. You shouldn't go into a game afraid of Jordan. And that's what a lot of people said happened, is people were afraid of Jordan. I would think some of that would be true. I think the Texans ultimately, if you had to guess, would be afraid of the Patriots over the many years. Now, that term is, you know, afraid. It's kind of a nebulous term, but I do think they played like a team that was not prepared to win most of the times they took on Tom Brady. We saw it time and time and time and time again.
To use your favorite sport as a kind of an explainer, played on the back foot. Like you, teams hunker down. Like if you're the less talented team in soccer, you hunker down and you try to take your chances on the counterattack. Or you play not to lose as opposed to not or to win. I could see that. But I don't know how you do that in basketball, how you play not to lose in basketball.
Well, I think you go in with a defeated mindset. If your mindset is, we can't beat this team. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard unless you get out quickly. Or when things go badly, you have a difficult time recovering mentally. You got to have a certain level of mental toughness. But listen, Utah was very mentally tough. There was a lot of mentally tough teams who weren't talented enough. Utah, I'd say, was talented enough. Or they were mentally tough enough. I just don't think, I mean, when it was all said and done, and I think they had good talent, not great talent, but who they had, Greg Ostertag, that was a huge liability. They did not have a big man that could take advantage of the weaknesses. They ran that high screen and roll stuff. We know that. But the teams that were going to give the Bulls the biggest trouble were going to be teams like Shaq, like Dream, who had a dominant big. And you could say Utah had a dominant big, but he liked to. I mean, Karl Malone also had mid-range game. He had the high screen and roll was such an important part of Utah's offense that he wasn't down on the low block all the time like those other guys were. Can you believe that's how basketball was played? Everything went through the big man so much.
Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore. I'm watching Darnell Dockett in high school. Have you ever seen him? Have you ever seen this?
Oh, when he was... Oh, you know what? I don't know if I have.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
You mean Darnell Dockett, the defensive lineman?
Yeah.
Why is that out there?
I have no idea. CBS is doing something with it. We ran away. There was a kid on the other team, the offensive tackle, said, I don't know, we ran away from him as much as possible. It was like he was, oh, my goodness, I don't know that I've seen, I mean, some of the hits and how much bigger and stronger, and it was unbelievable. But the thing I'm getting most out of it is they played on a dirt field. Every time somebody gets tackled, like this cloud of dirt just comes up. Somebody fix the field, put some grass on it.
It was that bad a field?
Back in the day, yeah. We used to play, honest to God, we'd have to walk through our field. When we started the season, we had to all line up and pick up all the rocks and glass on our field. And because you know, everybody used it to party or something, you know, it was a... And when we had to go through, otherwise you would come home with these, oh my God, these open wounds from playing on this grass. It wasn't really grass. It was just dirt.
Could have been a gunshot wound if Mel Murphy was around.
Mel Murphy could have got, you know, well, Mel Murphy. Yeah, I don't want to play football against Mel Murphy now.
We had the same thing with our Little League field. Sometimes it would be in good shape. Sometimes it wouldn't. Sometimes you'd have to pick up the glass and the rocks, everything you're talking about, because you could, you know, baseball could hit that and just all of a sudden take a bad hop into your face. But, see, what we had going on, which you may or may not have had going on, was the guy who was responsible for our field also got arrested for dealing coke. So, Joe, by day, was supposed to be driving and fixing up our field, but maybe he was just slanging. Because we were like, no wonder our field wasn't in great shape. The guy who was supposed to be fixing it up got arrested for dealing coke.
Well, so wait a minute. You can't have two jobs. What, did you ever work two jobs? You work two jobs now.
Work your two jobs, but I don't think he was working one of them, John. That's my problem.
You know?
If you got two jobs.
You know he didn't feel like this is important what I'm doing here. I feel I got a sense of pride fixing this field. And I'm, you need a gram? Okay.
How do I know he didn't have a sense of pride in the field? Because we picked glass and we picked glass and rocks out of the field that hadn't been dragged and the grass hadn't been cut. That's how I know he didn't have a sense of pride. I think he said, $6 an hour? Yeah, yo. And the decision became easy.
I'm sure. I'm sure that maybe sometimes, you know, because sometimes there's a late night coke call. And it's tough to get up in the morning when you're on a delivery, you know, at 3, 4.
And quit your other job. Quit the field job for the Little League Baseball. Quit that and give it to somebody else who wants to make $6 an hour.
Seems like Lance is a man who doesn't like people to work.
Yeah.
I like you to work, so do your job.
That man's trying to get his bag.
He is.
Great. Do your job. Do the Little League field.
How do you know he didn't cut the grass? It grew, and then someone dropped glass and rocks in it right after he was done.
Well, am I supposed to be out there protecting
you? That sounds like something Twitter would come up with to make an excuse for somebody.
He's also a security guard for the grass.
There's not glass droppers all over.
So he wants him to cut the grass and then be the security guard for the grass?
Then he couldn't even cut anything because he was arrested for selling coke.
That's just the police getting
down. We had to find a new guy, and all of a sudden the fields got better.
Or maybe the new guy in a conspiracy was dropping rocks and glass on the field to get that guy fired, and then when he finally couldn't get him fired like that, he planted coke on him and got him arrested.
Listen, it doesn't take much nowadays for somebody to believe a conspiracy theory.
You don't know what that guy was about.
You need to believe what you want to believe.
Did you do the research on your new guy and see how he got the job or where he came from?
I got to tell you, I honestly was more worried about other things at that point.
That's
in my life.
That's because you're a sheeple. That's why. Yeah. You're one of the sheeple.
That's part of it.
Yeah. Man's trying to make a living, and here you are, just judging.
Yeah, and he just assumes the guy is wrong. You don't know the backstory, do you?
I was just saying that he didn't clean up our field, but maybe I was being a part of a huge conspiracy.
You don't know.
To defraud Joe.
You don't know exactly what went on, did you?
Maybe there was another person crushing glass and throwing it on the field while he
dealt the coke. Guy who took his job. All of a sudden, there's a guy waiting in the wings.
That sounds right. Listen, have y'all ever thought about starting a YouTube channel for some of these conspiracies you have?
I have a radio show. We'll do it here.
You make a lot of money.
I can't monetize it on the show. I have to take it to YouTube.
We'll call it Info Battles.
That's very similar to other things.
Oh, okay.
Listen, If Dell's got to deal some coke on the side, whatever.
Well, now you got you like this, Dell? When you get thrown into being a coke dealer?
I mean, I don't mind. I don't mind the profession. I would ask him not to do it so publicly, just because it's not as accepted. As,
well, and you, we know one thing: Dell ain't sniffing from his own stash, is he?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not going to be one.
You'd be a perfect coke.
I'd be a perfect coke dealer.
I'd be a perfect coke dealer. Is not something you hear on radio a lot.
I would be only because if. Perfect coke dealers like won't take from his own supply. I would definitely be perfect. Now have needed to carry weapons and maybe put a person down because they're skimming from the top. I don't think I'm capable of that. But as far as making sure the product gets from one place to the other without anything being cut, I'm that guy.
Get somebody else to do that. The heavy work.
Yeah, that's overhead. I don't.
What other things could Dell do besides slang?
I don't think I could slang. I just think I would, in that aspect of it.
You'd be perfect.
You wouldn't have to worry about me taking some.
Dell's not
supply.
Showy. Dell doesn't dip into his own supply.
Don't party.
He keeps it quiet. He doesn't party. If he were part of Goodfellas, he wouldn't go out and buy a mink coat for anybody.
Certainly
not. No.
Jimmy Conway wouldn't have had you killed. Well,
no, he probably for something else, but it wouldn't be for that.
You wouldn't have been in a crew. Trust me, but
I'm neither Irish or Italian. I would have had no shot.
You didn't fit in that crew.
Yeah.
You didn't fit in that crew.
I don't think I would have been treated the way Sam Jackson was treated, right? He was in the movie. But it wouldn't have been much better.
Stax. Yeah, I forgot about Stax. That was early.
845 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-37. Hey, Dell, the spicy Burger King nugget is back. You in?
I don't F with Burger King, to be honest with you.
What? Burger King's over here going, what the hell? I got a spicy chicken for you, and you ain't going to give us a shot.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't want to take shots at Burger King, but you're a subpar brand. That's all I'm going to say.
Whoa.
Wow.
I haven't been to Burger King in probably a decade.
I'm watching McMillions right now.
I guess you ain't getting no Pepsis, are you?
No, I don't drink Pepsi.
Have you heard of McMillions, John, on HBO, that doc? I know you have, Dell. The Monopoly game that was rigged by the Mafia?
A
Castellano, no less? Oh, yeah. You need to be watching this. It should have received more hype from people. I heard a lot of people loved it. HBO Go, go check out McMillions. I think it's a 4-part doc about how the Mafia rigged up got their hands on all those Monopoly games where nobody won legitimately. They had tickets. They had the million-dollar tickets. One of them, Castellano gave one to his wife's dad. And since they had different last names, and his wife goes, at some point I told him, you can't keep having it be Italians from the East Coast win.
847 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Everybody's endorsing McMillions.
This is Tyler, the Creator.
Pardon me?
Lance, that's not Pharrell right there?
No, that's not even Pharrell singing. Lance just asked me a question about music, John, that's all.
Turn it up just a little bit. This isn't Pharrell singing?
No, he's not. It's not on.
I hear the...
I know what you're hearing, but that's not Pharrell. At least not according to the track list.
I just saw Bun said that Neptune's had something out new with Deadmau5.
The guy who wears a mouse head on his head?
Yeah, pomegranate. So I'm going to have to check that out.
What were you saying, John?
Everybody's endorsing McMillions. And now we also got Slanda Steve says, now we're going to hear about a Richmond Little League field manager having to sling rocks because Lance requested his Little League money back for snacks. Congratulations, Lance.
Well, once I get my self-addressed stamped envelopes in the mail for 4 to 6 weeks like they did in 1986, and not like that automated payment that they took when I had to pay for the league, they're like, yeah. Just one click and give us all your money. What about refund? Well, that's going to take several stamps, 4 to 6 weeks. So the process to get it back is a lengthy process, and you've got until May 31st or we're keeping your money. Chris Pratt, did you see he accidentally deleted 51,000 1,000 emails. If you got that many emails, you're probably not reading them anyway. So who cares? Now, do you have, John, have you kept important emails to you with information or whatever in your email? Do you do that, Dell?
I put them in a
special folder, right?
Yeah, in a folder.
If I thought something was important, it wouldn't get deleted. But more than anything else, it just becomes something I haven't. I just use a notes.
How many
app.
Do you have in your inbox inbox? How many emails?
Unread?
No. Just emails.
I would have to look. I don't know.
I have under primary. I cut my way back. I have 89.
I really don't delete emails. I just mark them as read if they're nonsense I don't,
really don't
care about.
Delete
you don't
them?
Delete them?
I mean, I mark them as read. I mean, they're in there, but I mean, I'll go. But I'm just pulling up my Gmail right now to see how many are in there. I don't, just because it doesn't bother me. Yeah, there's a lot of emails in here that they're not.
Tell us the number.
It's over 17,000.
It's aren't they adding up and.
No, it does take up space, yeah.
Take
it does.
Up your space?
No. Well, Gmail has Google Drive, and that would that's actually the one that takes up space because you put a sound clip on there, it takes up space. But as far as the
emails don't take up
it used to space. It used to be a thing for Gmail, but it's not anymore. At least not for me. It doesn't ever hit me with you need to delete because.
So if somebody hit, so if you hit you check the box that checked all of your emails and deleted them. How upset would you be?
I wouldn't care either.
You wouldn't
way.
Care? No. Do it right now then.
No.
Because
I'm not your puppet.
It.
I'm not your puppet. I'm not going to do what
just
you tell
do it
me
and
to
see
do.
What happens.
I don't. Why?
Tell you what, I'll let you have the last of this iced coffee.
You mean with your COVID infested mouth on it?
Don't why have would a COVID why, mouth. Why don't have
I,
a COVID
even
mouth.
Even if you're healthy, why would I want it?
I may get a COVID mouth because I'm going to a restaurant for the first time. Oh. So that may happen.
RIP to your mouth.
On Saturday.
What that mouth do though?
Well, hopefully it doesn't do a lot.
What are you doing with that mouth?
That's not the phrase. It's what that
I'm
mouth
I'm pretty sure.
Do. It's what that mouth do. Now, it is not what you're doing with that mouth. What that mouth do.
What you doing with that mouth over there?
Well, nothing. Nothing, sir.
What you doing with that mouth over there?
Mouth. You got to say mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry, mouth.
M-O-U-F.
Yes.
M-O-U-F. Yes. So you're going to play this Nick Saban horrible, corny thing?
Why are you hating on Nick the Great?
He's got his Alabama mask on. It's embarrassing. Nick, you're embarrassing everyone now. Stop doing it. You know what? Coach O now runs the SEC. That's all.
Okay.
Nick, you're an also ran. Okay? Beat it. Beat it, Alabama.
I feel like you're getting aggressive on
beat
Saban
it. Your fans
and the Crimson Tide.
Your fans have girlfriends that are blow-up dolls, and they have kids. Okay? You're embarrassing, Alabama.
If you missed that story, that was horrific.
That was.
God, that was. And that guy's from Georgia. There's a lot there. He had his own Stephanie East. She was from Japan. No, she was right. From China.
She has a birth certificate.
Well, her birth
she's
certificate
a blow-up
said
doll.
She was from China.
Well, she's a sex doll.
Do you remember what her maiden name was?
Oh, Ning Pei.
Yoko.
Oh, yeah, Yoko.
How hard did he have to work to come up with Yoko?
Yoko. And his mom, we called the number, her mom's number.
Yeah, the phone number's does not work anymore.
But she didn't.
That was a pretty horrible story.
Did you guys try to congratulate her on the birth of her child?
Well, we wanted to, but we couldn't
still
get through.
It's still open. Her account's still open, although no one's heard from her since 2018. When I say her... The sex doll.
Well,
you think she didn't have a phone anymore?
No, I don't think she does.
So I had a question for Nick yesterday, and it was surprising the answer. So, like I'm looking at the story. Ricky Antonio Gandy is fully recovered after testing positive for COVID-19. So he's back and he's fine, and so he's fully recovered. Does he now have a scar? Do you know anyone that has COVID-19?
Do I know anyone who has
it?
Andrew Perloff.
Okay. When you see Andrew Perloff, are you going to shake hands with him?
Yeah, why?
Well, I'm just wondering. Because
well, I'm not gonna
like
see him
Nick
for a while.
Yesterday, Nick was like, oh, no, I don't want to be around anybody. I'm like, what are you talking about? 2 weeks after they got, you can make out with him. Are you, what are you doing? What do you mean?
Well, am I supposed to believe science? I'm not believing science. Lying ass doctors.
Well, I'm believing Anthony Fauci because he's an American hero. He's an Italian.
Maybe. I haven't seen Anthony Fauci in a while, so maybe he's been disavowed by the president. And if the president disavows him, so do I. So, I'm not believing in science.
Are we putting? I mean, I look at them as heroes. You got through it. You beat the Rona, and he was like, "No, I don't want to be around those people."
Sorry, you're a leper. Can't be around you.
Yeah, what's the deal? We can't be like that with people that got caught the Rony.
Sure, we can. I don't want you. You're sick, unclean, unwashed.
People that caught the Rony,
stay away from me.
No, they're not sick. They were sick. It's like somebody who had the flu. Well, you had the flu last year, so I can't be around you.
Once you got it, you got it.
I was told the Rony ain't the flu. So, hey, you got the Rony? Sorry, bro.
It is a disease.
They need to be put in a colony.
What's wrong with you people?
They need to be put in colonies.
Just because they were sick, now all of a sudden they've got a scarlet letter on their face?
Colonies, John. Have you ever seen Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, they need to
put them in the colonies.
Under his eye.
We don't want to put them in the colonies.
No, you put them in those colonies where they work until they die.
Actually, they're heroes. Oh,
those are actually
I
real.
I fought the Rony and I won.
No, not from Nick's perspective. You got the Rony, which means you're susceptible to giving me the Rony at any point, despite
it's
what science says.
Herpes. I think it's actually you have an increase in T cells that helps you fight it off. Nah. You have actually antivirals in your system.
Who told you that? Some doctor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You listen to the doctors now?
Well, scientists did say you have antivirals in your system.
Oh, some scientist said. What's his name? Who did he vote for?
Who did he vote for?
Yeah.
Well, if he said anything positive, he couldn't have been.
I swear to you, I can't even. And I know both sides of this are so bad about the CNN's headlines versus the article itself.
My God.
They've gotten so bad about. What happens if everybody dies who you know? Like, what? What do you mean?
You did that in the first segment.
Who do you think is scaring me so bad?
What if sports never returns because someone dies?
I ask a hypothetical.
Well, they're asking a hypothetical. You're no better than they are.
Well, this morning. Oh, here it is. Analysis of 96,000 medical records show
hydroxychloroquine,
an antibiotic. Yeah. The cocktail endorsed by President Trump increased risk of death by 45%.
I know what's coming next. I read this. Oh. Go ahead. Keep going.
Risk of serious heart arrhythmias to 411%. Oh, my gosh.
No. You didn't keep going.
Well, that's it. That's not it.
You're missing the opportunity here to make the point. The point is, if you keep reading on it, it says, now, this was not done by a control group or a study group, which is the gold standard of medicine. It was just done by a reverse blah, 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 where they just – it was like a model. Basically, put together a model. It's not a control group, which is considered the medical standard. Look, I'm not taking that. I've had enough scientists say – they've already said remdesivir's passed. Hmm. It's already been approved in this country and other countries.
So you keep bringing up scientists.
I know. My bad. I keep running into that issue.
Published Friday in the medical journal The Lancet. I don't know
if you can trust The Lancet.
Not with a name like Lance.
The Lancet. I've never heard. I don't want anything with Lance in it. No, I can't trust it.
Look, all I know is your expertise is determined by who you voted for, and you got to tell me that first before I listen to you. That's all.
I just let you know. I'm an easy read. I believed people who worked in science in the 80s, 90s, 2000s.
And what did that get you?
I just don't feel like. Well, I just. The same ones who are fighting off, SARS, the same ones who are fighting off bird flu and swine flu and tried creating the, Ebola, the same ones who are battling all that stuff. I feel like they've got experience. Like, I like quarterbacks with experience. I like guys who have some winning under their belts. They've got some victories under their belts.
Oh, then you wouldn't have drafted Pat Mahomes. Good for you, the best player in the NFL.
Of course he wouldn't.
Mm. He didn't win nothing. Okay? That's what. And guess what?
Well, no, on the professional level. Hmm? Pat Mahomes has won a title. I rock with Pat Mahomes.
Oh, now you do.
Beforehand,
yeah, sure. He's proven.
You wouldn't take a chance on Pat Mahomes, though.
That's when they're in med school. College is med school.
You would have gone with Deshaun.
No, college is med school. I need to know about what happens once they make it into the field of science, which is professional football. So, in that case, Pat Mahomes has beaten Ebola, basically. In a way.
What? I thought Ebola. Well,
how did
he beat Ebola?
Well, if we're comparing.
He stepped into like an 11-win team. He didn't beat Ebola.
Ebola?
Kind of.
Ebola's not even in this league.
Yeah.
Ebola's not is a part of another league.
Yeah, thanks to Pat Mahomes and scientists. Thanks to scientists.
Sport.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
This segment is terrible. Someone told me to believe in scientists and trust doctors. That sounds stupid.
That is stupid.
It's weird to think for yourself and be like, that headline's BS. Stop crying about this. Stop overreacting. Cancel culture. I like scientists. It's weird to be able to just
sound stupid.
Have opinions.
I know we got to go to break, but I saw a meme and it's like you really think a face mask can keep you from infecting others or keep you safe? That's like having a chain link fence and trying to stop a mosquito. I was like, but science would say the mask helps you like 75%. Sorry, the meme said it. You know what that meme said? I'm taking the meme side.
Oh my God. But you know what? This is funny. Denise from Dr. Linville's office is listening, and she said, that medicine is what put me in the hospital. She didn't even have it, and she.
I don't trust her. Is she a scientist?
Well, she's not. She doesn't work for CNN, Lance. She's not trying to go after Trump.
I can't trust her.
Why?
I can't trust her if she's saying hydrochloroquine didn't fix her.
Yeah. Wait, you voted for you voted for Trump. I forgot.
No,
all right,
I did.
Yeah. Well, you must.
I did, Johnny.
Otherwise,
the way you're talking.
Behind. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on this side of the argument.
I'm not. I've got Gilead stock, which has remdesivir. Who are you talking about? I sweat that every day.
Oh, so money is the deciding factor.
Yeah, hydrochloroquine can beat it. As far as I'm concerned, get out of here. We've already defeated that one. I'm not worried. Public opinion already smashed that one to bits. The hydrochloroquine guy's like, hey, Trump, could you stop talking about us, please? We're trying to be over here and like. Do business.
Do you know how our stock
is plummeting.
You know how you save money, John, when you want a car?
You got to go get a car from Chastain Ford. That's what you do. That's who I trust. You know who I trust? The professionals. You know why I trust Chastain Ford? How about this? Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, Pat Mahomes been in the league 2 years, 3 years, whatever. You know how long the Chastain's been in business? Since 1933. You know what? You know what I can trust is people that have been in business that long because those people know how to do business right. You don't stay in business since 1933 like Chastain family unless you do business right. And most of their business, a large majority of their business for years and years and years, and hopefully it's changing now with this advertising, but it's still referral and return, the R&R. Referral and return, which means I loved the deal that I got with Chastain Ford, so I'm telling my friends about it. Or I loved the deal with Chastain Ford, and I'm returning to do business again. And they're the number one commercial Ford dealership in the city of Houston. Business will tell you. You know what? Businesses are telling you. They're the people that we trust. So if you're looking for that Ford car or truck in this pandemic, you want to save as much money as you possibly can and get the best deal you possibly can. Go see my peeps at ChastainFord.com. You can buy virtually. Go to the dealership. They got the unbelievable 84 months, no payments for 6 months, and nothing down. They've got unbelievable deals. They're the best. You'll love them. Chastain Ford. Join the Chastain family. Just two exits east of 59 on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown. Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.